Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 5, day 3 of our study of the book of Daniel. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're looking at Daniel chapter 5, verses 13 through 17. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I am your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're looking at a continuation of chapter 5. We're going to get to hear a little bit from Daniel, and it's not going to be great. But before we jump into that, would you join me as we pray before we start? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Come and touch our hearts with the knowledge of you. We want to know you more. We want to encounter you. We want to feel your presence in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's Word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Daniel 5, starting in verse 13. So Daniel was brought before the king, and the king said to him, "Are you Daniel, one of the exiles my father, the king, brought from Judah? I have heard that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that you have insight, intelligence, and understanding, and outstanding wisdom. The wise men and enchanters were brought before me to read this writing and tell me what it means, but they could not explain it. Now I have heard that you are able to give interpretations and to solve difficult problems. If you can read this writing and tell me what it means, you will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around your neck, and you will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Which is something that Daniel actually already had been. Now, imagine being Daniel at this point. He's got some years of experience under his belt. He's no longer the 15 or 12 or 18-year-old, whatever he was, when he entered Nebuchadnezzar's service. He's not that kid anymore. He's got some experience under his belt. Now, remember, I talked about how Daniel actually somehow grew fond of Nebuchadnezzar. And that blows my mind for a number of reasons. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar was, one, the guy who carried Daniel off and I believe more than likely killed his parents in the process, actually attacked Jerusalem 2 more times over a 20-year period after he carried Daniel off. So Daniel is in his service. Some of these things in this book are going on. The timeline of what's happening is actually very fascinating. You know, Daniel's been carried off, and it's 20 years later before Nebuchadnezzar goes and actually destroys the city of Jerusalem and levels the temple. He's doing that while Daniel is in his service. Also, while Daniel is in his service, he gets so tired of the king of Jerusalem, he carries him away. And he brings him before him and he sets the king's sons in front of him. And he assassinates. He has someone kill all of his sons right in front of him. And then he gouges out the king's eyes so that it's the last thing he will ever see. And then leaves the king alive. This man is so heinously cruel. All of this is happening while Daniel's alive and in his service. And somehow Daniel liked him. Somehow God kept speaking to Nebuchadnezzar, this cruel, wicked pagan. God spoke to him things about the end times, and Daniel liked him. As we looked in chapter 4, where he says, "Oh, king, I wish that this dream was about your adversaries, your enemies, and not you." That's amazing that Daniel would have such fondness over Nebuchadnezzar. But let's continue on and read what he feels about Belshazzar after Belshazzar has promised him to be the third highest ruler in the kingdom. Imagine standing before this king and being offered, "If you can interpret this for me, if you can tell me what this means, I'll make you the most important man in Babylon besides me and my right-hand guy." And Daniel says, verse 17, "Then Daniel answered the king, 'You may keep your gifts for yourself and give your rewards to someone else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means.'" This is an amazing slap across the face of Belshazzar. Daniel comes in. Again, Daniel loved Nebuchadnezzar for some reason. But he walks into Belshazzar's presence, and Belshazzar says, I'll give you gold and jewelry and all this stuff, pay you huge amounts of money, make you the third highest ruler. And Daniel's like, you know what? You can keep all that. Daniel's like, I don't want anything from you. I mean, that is such a huge insult that Daniel slaps Belshazzar with in front of all of his royal court. I mean, he basically tells him, I don't want a thing from you. So Daniel obviously didn't know him personally at this point because Belshazzar didn't know who the heck he was, but he knew him well enough to know that he didn't want anything to do with Belshazzar, nothing to do with him. And he actually comes and stands in front of them and tells them, Daniel has got some boldness. I mean, Daniel said this, and as he's saying this, it has to register through his mind. Maybe he knows the Lord's going to protect him. Maybe he doesn't care at this point because he dislikes this king so much, because he sees so much wickedness in this king. But he actually doesn't care if Belshazzar kills him for this, for what he's going to say, because what he just said right there, that was more than enough for any king with this level of authority to have taken his life right then and there. I mean, think of going back to Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel liked Nebuchadnezzar better than Belshazzar. And when the astrologers and all these people came back and Nebuchadnezzar said, tell me my dream. And they're like, nobody can do that. He's like, fine, you all die. I mean, that's Nebuchadnezzar. And obviously Belshazzar is, Daniel must think he's a less reasonable, less righteous man than Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel stands in front of him and is like, you know, I don't want any of your stuff. I don't want anything from you. You can keep it. My goodness, that's boldness. That is incredible boldness. And in the face, you know, in the face of this, Daniel's going to still tell him because he knows it's important. This is a supernatural moment of what's going on. It makes me wonder, did Daniel already know? Had the Lord spoken to him separately what's about to happen this evening? Had the Lord already spoken it to him, or did he not know? And he just didn't care. I mean, you could have incredible boldness with the king if you think he's not going to kill me tomorrow, he's going to kill me. He's not going to kill me today, he'll probably kill me tomorrow. I know the king's not going to be around tomorrow, so I'm just going to say what I want. You know, maybe that's why Daniel had boldness. I wonder. We don't get to know that, but still, it's boldness. It's boldness nonetheless. It makes me wonder, did Daniel know what's about to happen? Or, again, kind of like Nebuchadnezzar's dream, is this Daniel's first revelation of what's about to happen that very night? It blows me away. This so fascinates me with how the Lord is able to weave these storylines together. Daniel is one of the most fascinating books of how the Lord supernaturally works in the midst of human affairs. And if the first five chapters, or actually the first six, seven chapters, aren't enough to make that clear, the last half of the book will really blow us away. Because not only can the Lord show us how he can intermingle and work in the midst of human affairs, he can actually tell us hundreds of years, thousands of years in advance, exactly what's going to happen. This moment that's about to happen by the end of this chapter, the Lord already knew about it a long time prior. In the same way, he knows about what's going to happen in the end times, even though Daniel was nowhere near it at that point. All right, that's all we have for today. We're going to get into what this scratching on the wall means tomorrow. But for now, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, for the 10-week Bible study. I can't wait to see you next time.